यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 27, entitled The Process of Deity Worship, Text 35. Abhyango Mardanadarsha Dantadvabhabhichechanam Annadya Gita Nrityani पर्वणि श्रु उतान्वहम् अभ्यंगोन्मर्दनादर्श दन्तधावाभिषेचनम् अन्याद्य गीत्र नृत्यानि पर्वणि श्रु उतान्वहम् अभ्यंगोन्मर्दनादर्श दन्तधावाभिषेचनम् अन्नाद्य गीत नृत्यानि पर्वणि श्युरुतान्वहम् गीत नृत्यानि पर्वणि शुरुतान्वहम् अभ्यंगो मर्दनादर्श दन्तधावाभिषेचनम् अन्नाद्य गीत नृत्यानि पर्वणि शुरुतान्वहम् अभ्यंगोन्मर्दनादर्श दन्तधावाभिषेचनम् अन्नाद्यगृहीतनित्यानि पर्वणि शुरुतान्वहम् Mataji's? Abhyango Mardanadarsha Dantadhava Abhisechanam Annadya Gita Nrityani Parvani Shur Atanvaham. Abhyanga, with ointment. Unmardana, massaging. Adarsha, offering a mirror. Dantadhava, washing the teeth. Abhishechanam, bathing. Anna, offering food that can be eaten without chewing. Adya, offering food that is chewed. Geeta, singing. Nrityani, and dancing. Parvani, on special holidays. Shuhu, these offerings should be made. Uta, or else, if it is within one's means. Anu aham, every day. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: on special occasions and daily if possible, the deity should be massaged with ointment, shown a mirror, offered a eucalyptus stick for brushing his teeth, bathed with five kinds of nectar, offered all kinds of opulent foods, and entertained with singing and dancing. Purport: Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the process of deity worship as follows. First, the deity's teeth should be cleaned and his body massaged with fragrant oil and rubbed with vermilion, camphor, powder and so forth. Then he should be bathed with fragrant water and the five kinds of nectar. Next, one should offer valuable silk garments and jeweled ornaments to the deity, smear his body with sandalwood paste and offer him garlands and other gifts. After this, one should hold a mirror in front of the deity and then offer fragrant oil, flowers, incense, lamps and scented water for refreshing the mouth. One should offer all types of palatable foods, fragrant water, betel nuts, garlands, aarti lamps, a bed to rest and so on. One should also fan the deity and perform instrumental music, singing and dancing. This deity worship must be performed on special occasions like religious holidays or else, if one can afford it, daily. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Ekadashi is an appropriate day for performing special deity worship. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Little translation again. On special occasions and daily if possible, the deity should be massaged with ointment, shown a mirror, offered a eucalyptus stick for brushing his teeth, bathed with the 5 kinds of nectar, offered all kinds of opulent foods, and entertained with singing and dancing. Hare Krishna. So I beg for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, all my seniors and my parents and Srila Gurudev, before I can speak on this exalted topic of deity worship. It's a very beautiful verse which very graphically describes the process of deity worship. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that yad karoshi yad ashnashi yad jihosi dadasi yad yad tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurusva mad arpanam. So he's saying that whatever you do, yad karoshi, whatever you do, yad ashnashi, whatever you eat, yad jihosi dadasi, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, and yad tapasyasi kaunteya, whatever austerities you may perform, do it as an offering to me. So Krishna is basically saying in the Bhagavad Gita that offer everything to me, whatever you do. First statement itself he is saying yad karoshi, whatever you do, offer it to me. So it's a very wonderful verse, because Krishna is expressing his desire that in this world we do so many things for so many reasons. We do because we want security, we do because we want pleasure, we do because we want to avoid pain, we want to avoid disease, we do so many things. But Krishna is saying that whatever you do, do it as an offering to me. So Srila Prabhupada, just as he gave the Bhagavad Gita as it is, he entitled the Bhagavad Gita as Bhagavad Gita as it is. So in the same way, he also presented the process of deity worship intact as it is. He did not in any way water it down, saying, oh, this is Kali Yuga, we are all Shudras in Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhavat. Everyone is none of us have really any Brahminical qualities, none of us have any purity. But despite that, Srila Prabhupada, he did not water it down. He said that this is a very, very powerful process to purify our hearts. And therefore, he presented it as it is, very intact. He did not change the principles that have been given by our acharyas. Why did he do that? Because he saw it as a practical means of this principle of Krishna consciousness, offering everything to Krishna. Very easy to say, no, offer everything to Krishna. But how do we practically do it? So this verse, this particular verse that we have just discussed from the Gita, from the Bhagavatam, it just gives a flavor that, kya hai aapke paas? What do you have? What great thing do you have to offer to the Lord? So whatever you have, you can offer. You can offer an ointment, you can help the Lord brush his teeth, you can offer five kinds of nectar, you can offer silken cloth, you can offer jeweled ornaments. So many things you can offer to the Lord. There is no limit to what one can offer to the Lord. And this process of deity worship is a wonderful process by which one gets an opportunity to directly serve the Lord. If you see, of the five items of devotional service that are mentioned by Lord Chaitanya also, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he mentions these five items, which are, chanting the holy names, studying and reading Srimad, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, offering deity worship, Vaishnav Seva, and living in the Dham. So these are five principles out of 64 items of devotional service that Rupa Goswami mentions in the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu. The five principal ones are these: chanting the holy names, hearing, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities, associating and serving Vaishnavas, and living in the Dham. And of the remaining 59, so 64 items are there, 5 are principal. Out of the remaining 59, there are, almost 30-35 more which are related to deity worship. So it's a very important, this Archa Vigraha worship is a very important aspect of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, for us, it is important to understand why Srila Prabhupada gave this importance, what he expects from us as devotees. Some of us may have deities in the home, some of us may not have deities, but we have the picture of the deities. Some of us may be fortunate enough to worship deities in the altar here. So what is it that our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada wants from us? What do our previous Acharyas want from us, and what is expected? So maybe we can discuss a little bit about this. So I am quoting from one letter by Srila Prabhupada in 1975, in which he is writing to a person who is responsible for deity worship, in ISKCON at that time. He says that they should always remember, those who are worshipping the deities, those who are standing inside the Garbhagraha and actually worshipping, they are offering various items to the Lord, they are bathing the Lord, they are dressing the Lord, they are offering aarti to the Lord, they are offering bhoga to the Lord. So always remember that we are dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the most important aspect. Because if we forget this, then everything else is just a ritual. It's just a ritual. If we see the deity as being made out of stone or wood, then the execution of all the vidhis, so deity worship is a very detailed science. It's not something jo upar say, just from superficially some information has been given. It's very, very detailed, and it's, as I was also studying last week, 10 days I've also been studying, I realized that how much detail is there. If you want to increase, your concentration on the form of the Lord, you want to increase your power of concentration, that itself, then you just perform aarti. There's so much concentration that goes into it. You're worshipping each limb of the Lord, and you're chanting mantras in your mind. For each deity, there is a separate mantra. For each part of the aarti, there is a separate mantra. When you are offering the dhoop, there is a different mantra. When you are offering flowers, there is a different mantra. And for each deity, so there is a mantra for the process you are following, and there is the name of the deity that you are worshipping. You combine them, and along with that, you are, four times offering to the lotus feet of the Lord, twice to the navel, three times to the face, seven times to the body. There's so much. Physically, you are, conscious of so many things. But the most important aspect is that we are not so stuck up on the process. It is important. The process is extremely important, because deity worship of Shri Radha Krishna, especially deities where the Lord has been personally invited to come and reside by the Acharya, that deity is, he is Krishna. He is not a deity form of Krishna. He is Krishna. So when we see Shri Radha Gopinath here, we should understand that this is not a deity representation of the Supreme Lord. This is the Supreme Lord. This is Krishna. This is Radha Gopinath. We should have that faith. We should have that understanding. Because unless we have that understanding, we will not take this process very seriously. We will be just offering very formally, but not really. We may do the process perfectly, but if that mood is not there, then it will seem like a great burden after some time. Srila Prabhupada said that if we don't take this seriously, we don't chant our rounds nicely, and we don't worship sincerely, it will seem like a burden. What is the right mood to understand? So again, I quote, because it's very beautiful words for us to understand. And what is the mood that we have to have when we worship deities? He says, here is Krishna. Here is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Here he is. On the invitation of my spiritual master, he has come to give me the opportunity to serve him. So each word is very important here. On the invitation of my spiritual master, meaning what? I have no qualifications. I am not pure. I have no qualification to directly serve the Supreme Lord. No. Even in the worship, we first take permission of the Guru and then we go to the Lord. But even then, to directly offer something to the Lord, what is our qualification? Nothing. Zero. Zero, okay, negative. But on the invitation of spiritual master, the Lord has come here to give me the opportunity to serve him. Then, if we have this consciousness, we will take every step in the worship, every step that we follow, the process, to be an occasion for rejoicing. Then we will not see, oh, okay, now I have to do this, okay, now I have to do this. Every step will be rejoicement. That after millions of lifetimes of suffering in material bondage, now we are situated at the lotus feet of the Lord through the causeless mercy of my spiritual master. Can we imagine what is the importance of this? That we have been struggling in the material world for God knows how many millions and billions of lifetimes. So many things we have been trying to do. Everyone has been trying to enjoy ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanya metat pashubhi naranam dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesho dharme nahi na pashubhi saman. So we are like those two-legged animals who are always running after eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That is the only purpose of 99.9999999% of human species. Everyone is only running after that. How I can eat, sleep, mate and defend better? No one is thinking of anything else. So after doing this lifetime after lifetime, human body, plant body, animal body, insect body, reptile body, fish body, again human body, so many bodies are going up, down, left, right, side, upper, niche, everything I've been doing. After all this, now I have got this opportunity to stand directly in front of the Supreme Lord and offer him worship through the causeless mercy of my spiritual master. So we should have that consciousness. We should meditate on this, because it's very important. Otherwise, we will not take. Otherwise, all the things that I mentioned here by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, offer this, offer that, it's nice. It's all wonderful. We should understand that this is the consciousness we need to have. So there are two types of worship of deity that I mentioned. So one is the what is called japanga, by, you know, which is done by the by smartha brahmanas for fruitive results, that you offered something to the deity because you're getting something back. So that is one way. And the second way is what is called the bhaktyanga kind of worship. This is the worship that is performed by the devotees here in ISKCON, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara. So in this also there are two types. One is that which is performed with ingredients according to the means of the householder. So the householder has a certain means of worship. He performs according to his means. Yatha Shakti.
So if you are not very well off, you can do simple. If you are well off, you should do opulent. So it's up to you. Srila Prabhupada also clarifies that we must not outsource this service. If you have deities, you should not outsource it to somebody else. Call some brahmana from inside, from outside, and ask them to worship. Of course, nobody does that, but Prabhupada mentions that. And this, since it is according to the means of the householder, this in the house you are doing deity worship, it is reduced or shortened service. The second type of worship is the worship of the Supreme Lord, where you know the deity has been, we have done prana pratishtha, we have invited the Lord to come and reside in the in that deity. That means he is a Supreme Lord, non-different. Non-different means he is the Lord only. So here, the worship of the Supreme Lord is like a king. So this is the word that's used, like a king, in awe and reverence. That how if the king comes, today there are no kings. There are only prime ministers and presidents. But even if we understand that how the kings in the past, how they used to live, what kind of, a few days back, a devotee was mentioning that when the king is, you know, when he is dressed, how do they dress him? He doesn't just come and go search for his clothes and he wears it himself. No, somebody goes, they bring his clothes, then he raises his arms like this, then someone puts his upper cloth, then they put his lower cloth, then they put his abhushan. So king, where everything is done by the servant. Is it that the king can't do it himself? No, he can. He can do. He's very capable, very powerful person. He can obviously easily wear his clothes and his ornaments. He can apply perfume on his own body. He doesn't need anyone's help. But it is the privilege of the servant that he gets to do this for the king. Therefore, he does it with great awe and reverence. Oh, I have the opportunity to serve the king directly today. So therefore, with great awe and reverence and with great gratitude, he serves the king. So this is the mood in which we have to serve the deities. So this verse and this purport mention very nicely, in brief, that how this worship can be done. They're offering so many things, so many wonderful things are mentioned here. You know, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, fragrant oil, fragrant water, five kinds of nectar, panchamrita, silk garments, sandalwood paste, garlands, gifts, and so on. So, and then offer nice bhoga. Like when we offer to Shishi Radha Gopinath the deities, whenever we offer the best that is possible. Everything is cooked in ghee, pure cow's ghee. So we can imagine the opulence of a king. The king will not eat anything that is cooked in sunflower oil, right? Oh, it's good for health, have safola. No, he will have everything that's cooked in pure ghee. The puris will be fried in ghee, the sabji will be made in ghee, the dal will be cooked in ghee. Whatever it is in ghee. You know, so that is how the king is served, because he has the capacity to eat it. Same way the Supreme Lord is offered wonderful offerings. Why are we doing it? We're doing it out of love. We're doing it out of awe and respect. That my Lord, we cannot offer, this is the best that is there. Not that we are offering something that is so wonderful, oh, the Lord should be pleased, surely. No. What we are offering is actually something very insignificant. You know, whatever offerings we make, they are really very insignificant. Nothing great. But still, if with love we prepare, all the Matajis who cook in the kitchen there, with so much love they are preparing, with so much dedication, there are some Matajis who have been coming for 20 years, 25, 30 years or so, regularly coming on a particular day of the week or sometimes even 2 days a week to make that offering, that Sandhya Bhoga offering, that Raj Bhoga offering, that you know Mangal Bhoga offering, whatever it is. For years, decades they've been coming. That attachment is there that, oh, I have to make something nice for the Lord. And they're always thinking, they're always meditating. You know, the brahmacharis who are responsible for deity worship, for that department, they are also always on the lookout. Ki, acha, what new thing can we prepare? If they hear that there's some Mataji who is a good cook, they want to ask that, okay, what dishes, what new thing can we make for the Lord? We want to give variety to the Lord. We don't want to give the same old, same old, same old. We want to give something different every time. So this is how we have to offer. And we have to understand that while we are offering to the Lord, the essence of this verse, what is being spoken, is that there is no offering that is too humble for the Lord. So we should not feel that, oh, what we are offering, this is so humble, Lord will not be pleased. No. There is nothing that is too humble for the Lord. At the same time, there is nothing that is too opulent for the Lord. Krishna has the capacity to accept something no matter how we give it. Whether we give it with all our shakti or we don't have any shakti, so offer something very simple. Krishna is saying in the Gita, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti rupartam ashnami prayatatmanam. We offer with love and devotion. Krishna will accept even one glass of water. You don't have anything? Prabhupada says in various places, you don't have anything? At least water you will have. Offer water to the Lord. He is pleased even with that. Because He doesn't need anything. What does Krishna need? He doesn't need anything. He has His servants who are offering Him everything. But it is our privilege, it is our opportunity to offer something to the Lord with love and devotion. So we see the story of Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami, he went to this house of this Purushottam Chaubey and he saw there for the first time the deity of Madan Mohan, another Madan Mohan. He saw Madan Mohan and the children of Purushottam Chaubey were actually playing with the Lord. They were playing with the deity. Such love was there, such familiarity was there. And this deity was passed on by Advaita Acharya to Purushottam Chaubey. So they were very familiar, they were lovingly playing with the deity. So Sanatana Goswami, being a bit of a purist, he didn't like it. He said that, what is this? You know, you should not. He kind of chastised him. And then after that, the Lord appeared in the dream of Sanatana Goswami and told him that now that you have, you know, chastised like this, you should take the deity and you should serve. You should serve me every day. So Sanatana Goswami, he brought Lord and he started serving. Now, every day Sanatana Goswami, what he could eat, because he was a Babaji, living like a Babaji. So he would go to few households and whoever gave him a dry chapati, he would just take that and he would eat that, and that was his sustenance. He didn't want anything fancy, he didn't have any means. Very simple life. But now deity has come. It is like, you know, when people become parents for the first time. Till they are parents, they can do anything. They can eat anything, they can eat any time, they can do anything they want. But the moment children come, then suddenly everything becomes very regimented. Everything becomes very particular. You have to be very careful that food, the water is boiled properly. Earlier you would just take water and drink, not bother. Now you boil the water, you ensure the food is very clean. Everything you have to take care. Same way, now that the deity was there, Sanatana Goswami is thinking that, hey, now I cannot offer those rotis because those are already somebody has cooked and maybe offered to their deities. I can't offer, I'll have to now offer something else. So he started going and begging for flour, atta. So he would beg for atta, somebody would give little atta. So he would take that atta, he would mix it with Yamuna water and make a small flour ball, bati. Make a small bati, heat it a little bit on fire, and he would offer that to the Lord. And that is all. That is all. That is all. Maybe in Purushottam Chaubey's house he was getting many opulent offerings. But here, because he's a householder, here he is Goswami, what does he have? Nothing. So he was only offering this bati, because this is his capacity was only this, because he was begging, taking something, making and giving to the Lord. So Lord was very happily accepting, was coming from his pure devotees, so very lovingly was accepting. But then after some time the Lord also felt ki, are you are giving me this bati every day, I am eating, I am accepting, at least you can add little salt, no? Thoda namak to usme add, add little bit salt and give it to me, it will be more edible if you give it with salt. And Sanatana Goswami was telling him that, my Lord, today you are asking for salt, where will I get salt from? I am begging, I am getting flour, atta mil raha hai, that itself is a big thing. Where will I get salt from? And today you are asking for salt, tomorrow you will ask for sweet rice also. Where I will arrange from? you please be satisfied with whatever, like that. So, even till this date, they offer this bhati to Radha Madan Mohan. So this is the mood of the Lord, that there is no offering that is too simple. If it is offered with love and devotion, Krishna is willing to accept it. He has no objection, he has no problem. Very lovingly he accepts it. At the same time, there is no offering that is too opulent. We should not feel, oh, this is too much. So much, why we have to do? We should not feel proud that we are offering so many times. Oh, you know, 6 offerings a day, and each offering there are like some 12, 13 offerings being made. We should not become proud that we are offering something great to the Lord, because there is nothing that is too opulent. There is a story in Jagannath Puri that this man, he came to the pandas of Jagannath Puri, a very proud, very rich millionaire person. In those days also he was very rich. So, and it was several 100 years old story. So he went to the pandas and he told them that, I want to make an offering to the Lord. He said, yes, wonderful. What do you want to offer? He said, that you decide. What do you want to offer? You decide. I want to offer only one bhoga, which should be worth 1 lakh rupees. So now 1 lakh rupees, even in today day and age, it is difficult to imagine making an offering. With all our inflation and everything, it is difficult to imagine making one offering which is worth 1 lakh. Imagine a few 100 years ago, where everything was very cheap. In 1 rupee you would probably get 1 month's ration, you know, that much. So what we'll give in 1 lakh? This is next to impossible. So the pandas tried to reason with him that, you know, yeah, your mood is very nice that you want to offer, but in one offering it is difficult to do. How we can do this? So, but this man was very proud. And, you know, he was stuck on his point. He said, no, I will give this 1 lakh, but only if it is for one offering. It's your problem, you decide. If you don't, if you can't, then I don't want to give that donation. So, we should never try to act smart with the Lord. This is the principle from this. You try to act smart, over smart with the Lord or with the Lord's devotees, the Lord comes down with a nice danda, gives it back with interest, sood samet. So this head pujari, he was wondering that, what do I do, my Lord Jagannath? How? We want to serve you. We want to engage this man's Lakshmi in your service. But he is given such a ridiculous condition. What should we do? So then when he was praying, in his dream Lord Jagannath appeared. Lord Jagannath told him that, tell him that I just want one small betel nut. One betel nut you offer, that is good enough. But along with the betel nut, that chuna that you apply, that lime, that should be made from the gajamukta pearl. So gajamukta pearl means in the head of the elephant, there is a small pearl-like substance, like a growth, which looks like a pearl. So this gajamukta pearl is not there in every elephant's head. It is there in some special elephant's head. And it is not possible to find out which. There is no test that tells you that this elephant has it. It's like finding water, you know, you under the ground. You don't know. Only few experts can find where there is water. And sometimes they also don't know. Same way, this Gajamukta pearl, nobody knows which elephant has it. So to find it, so this pujari was very happy. Next day he went to this man and he was very proudly saying, haha, so, have you thought of anything? Otherwise, I am taking the money back. So they said, yeah, the Lord has given this thing that he wants only one betel nut. So this man was like, So one betel nut which is accompanied by this lime that is made from the Gajamukta pearl. Pearl coming from the head of an elephant. The moment this person heard this, he broke into a sweat. He said, my God. And immediately he started thinking, he started doing the calculation in his mind. God knows how many hundreds of elephants will have to be killed to get that one pearl. Who will give their elephant to kill, first of all? Who will kill them? Even if he has elephants, why will he kill the elephants for that one pearl? And even after killing all of them, he may not get. So 1 lakh, yeah, maybe even 1 crore is not enough. suddenly he realized how small he really is, how insignificant he really is against the Lord's desire. If the Lord desires, he can desire something which you cannot provide with all your riches, with all your opulence. You have no okat, you have no condition to supply what the Lord wants. So there is nothing like, oh, this is too simple an offering, or this is too opulent an offering. However, Srila Prabhupada certainly wanted that we should have vidhi purvak. Vidhi purvak means absolutely following, like yesterday Prabhuji was mentioning, absolutely following the process very properly. You have to follow the process of deity worship very appropriately, very nicely. You have to follow everything. Vidhi has to be for the rules and regulations. We can't say, like, we are currently at a very lower level in our consciousness, in our practice, in our sadhana. We are very low. So we cannot go to that Raganuga stage where we offer the Lord directly, come take my Lord, eat from my hand. We are not in that stage. So we have to follow with that like a king, with awe and reverence. So vidhi purvak. And Srila Prabhupada also wanted opulent deity worship in his temples. So I quote again, Srila Prabhupada says, regarding deity worship, the standard must be kept very high in all our ISKCON centers. So he says, regarding deity worship, the standard must be kept very high in all our ISKCON centers. All. There should be no question of decrease. Not that, you know, according to time, place and circumstance, little bit we can reduce. No, he said, for deities there is no compromise. You compromise in everything else. You don't have much funds, then you reduce the, you know, opulence of the prasad that you are having. You cut down on other things. But deities, there should be no compromise. So keep that budget for maintaining an opulent worship of the deities. That should never be compromised. So there should be no question of decrease. Only think how to increase the quality and the opulence of our offerings. So this is the standard that our founder Acharya has given us. That if you are worshipping Shishi Radha Gopinath, we are worshipping Shishi Radha, Shishi Nitai Gaur Chandra, Shri Gopalji, Shri Janardhan Bhagwan, Radha Gopijan Vallabh, whoever it is we are worshipping, we should always be thinking about how can I do this better? How can I worship the Lord in a more opulent way? Because that is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. And if we are doing this with all sincerity, we have the opportunity to perfect our lives. So I'll just speak a few minutes about the impact that this deity worship has. It's important for us to understand, as grihasthas, Srila Prabhupada wanted all grihasthas, all within ISKCON, to worship deities. So for a few minutes we'll discuss about the impact that this deity worship has on the worshipper, the one who is performing the worship, on the observer, someone who is worshipping there and someone is observing, and then on the deity himself, the Lord himself. What is the impact on all three? We need to understand this, because this will then hopefully make us a little bit more serious about what we are doing. So one of the biggest advantages of performing deity worship is that it keeps us rooted to the personal concept of the Lord. Because otherwise, even being in Krishna consciousness, we can kind of tend towards impersonalism. Can happen. Because if you are not doing anything for the deity, we are only chanting Hare Krishna. We don't have, of course, we know that Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar, the holy name is non-different from Krishna. So when we are chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, when we are chanting the holy names, we can understand that this is Krishna. I am associating with Krishna at this moment. We can understand, but we don't have that realization. We don't have it yet. So then, there is a tendency. So therefore, if we are worshipping deity form of the Lord, we understand that this is the personal, this is the person, this is This is not some energy, this is not some shakti or something like that. This is actually the Lord that I am getting this opportunity to. So if I am touching also, I should be clear, I am pure. Let me purify myself before I touch the body of the Lord. Before I offer anything to the Lord, let me purify it first. Nothing should be contaminated, everything should be pure. So if we keep doing this, we understand over a period of time, we get this realization that this deity here is not some idol or statue. He is the Lord. It's very important. If we do this on a daily basis, we get that realization. Another thing is, we may or may not love Krishna. We may or may not love Sri Nitai Gaur Chandra. We may not love Gopal. We may not. Don't have. But when we serve the deities, when we serve them directly, what is happening? We are getting an opportunity to directly engage our senses. Our very contaminated senses. But we are getting an opportunity to directly serve the Lord. How fortunate is that? Such a great fortune. Because we are using our senses for what today? Only for sense gratification. For eating. Kabhi tikha khana khaya. Kabhi namkeen khaya. Sometimes we eat, you know, chatpata khana. Sometimes we eat this, we eat that. We are engaging our senses in eating. What do we use our eyes for? We use our eyes for looking at beautiful people, beautiful things. Oh, I went to this place, I saw this beautiful scenery. Oh, I saw this beautiful man, I saw this beautiful woman. We're using our eyes for that. What are we using our ears for? Oh, we're hearing so many things of this world. We're hearing so much gossip. We're hearing so much nonsense. You know, today, because of our mobile phones, we are inundated. Day in and day out, there's not a spare moment. Now, I was just yesterday, when I was reading something, I was trying to prepare. It is impossible to prepare. While you're preparing, ting. Again, you read three lines, ting. Again, you read three lines, ting. Continuously, you know, WhatsApp notifications are coming, emails are coming. So, you are constantly disturbed. Your ears are engaged in the service of your mobile phone. When is the next ting going to come? And you'll again look at the phone. It must be something important. Latest update about coronavirus. I must read it. So we're so obsessed with our phones, with our, you know, I can't say today we're obsessed with anything else. We're only obsessed with that. That phone is like our deity. You know, every day we're worshipping it very, very with great vidhipurvak we're worshipping it. So, if we serve the deities directly, what are we doing? All these senses, our sense of sight, our sense of smell, our sense of hearing, our sense of taste, our sense of touch, everything is being engaged in the service of the Lord directly. So it is such a purifying experience for the worshipper. You get purified by worshipping the Lord. I remember many years back, we had attended one seminar on deity worship by His Grace Rupa Raghunath Prabhu. And he had made one very, very telling statement, which I felt is nice, and you can just share it. He says, when we perform deity worship, we keep hearing that Krishna, He is the controller, He is the enjoyer. We are not the enjoyer. Who are we? We are servants. We are servants. We are servants. We keep hearing. But really, we don't ever get that consciousness that I am servant of the Lord. I'm servant of God. We don't get that. Who thinks like that? Kaun sochta hai aise? Nobody thinks that I am servant of God. We think, hey, I am my own master. I am my own person. I don't care about anything else. So most of us are thinking like that. But when we offer every day service to the Lord, to the deity form of the Lord, every day if you are doing it, every day you offer like this bhoga plate which will come now in another 15-20 minutes. A bhoga plate which has got some nice opulently cooked bhoga for the Lord. 6 times a day you are seeing it is being offered to the Lord. When you see it, somewhere the realization hits you that He is really the enjoyer. I am not. Who am I? I am merely an insignificant servant of the Lord who has got this blessed opportunity in this lifetime amidst all the sinful activities I have done in the past, now I have got, by the grace of my Guru, I have got this opportunity to stand in front of the Lord and offer Him something. It's insignificant. What can we offer? But I have got this opportunity. So, you keep on doing it regularly, somewhere that realization hits you that He is really the enjoyer. We are not. And then, over a period of time, if we keep doing this, we keep worshiping, it's not even a long period of time. You do it for 10 days, you do it for 15 days, you will start feeling some sort of attachment, some sort of reciprocation we start feeling from the deities. So, a few days back, and this reciprocation then results in some sort of a deep loving relationship. See, like with anybody, you spend time with somebody, you serve them, you start feeling an attachment. It comes naturally. You don't have to struggle, like Prabhuji said yesterday. You don't have to struggle for it. Automatically, you serve, after some time you develop attachment. You start thinking that, how can I serve better? Oh, yesterday I didn't offer properly. Today let me be attentive. So you become attached over a period of time, and then love develops. And that love, when the Lord experiences that love, the Lord also reciprocates. And that deity really comes alive for us if we are worshipping with sincerity. So 2-3 days back, His Grace Prahlad Priya Prabhu told a very beautiful story. I don't know how many of us were there for that lecture, how many attended. So there are a few, but I was fortunate enough to hear it, and for my own purification, for pleasure of all of you, I'll repeat that story. It's only 2 days back, but it was still very beautiful. So, he was telling a story. He said that in the past there was this pratha, there was this practice that if a woman was getting married, along with her entourage and whatever else was given by the father with love to the daughter, take this, take this, take this, he would also give a small deity of Laddu Gopal. This was a practice followed many households across India. So this father had given this deity of Laddu Gopal to his daughter when she got married into some household. And when she went to her husband's home, she started very sincerely every day worshipping Gopal. Every day. Very sincerely, she would offer something to the Lord. She would offer dresses. She would offer good bhoga. She would offer fragrances. So many things she would do. Every day she would offer. And this was going on for many years. Then she became old. She had a son. Son got married. Now, after the son got married, already many years had passed. And obviously, she had become old. And now the daughter-in-law who had come, she was expected to carry on this worship, because now mother-in-law was a little old, for difficult for her to do everything. So daughter-in-law was given, a daughter-in-law was a more modern person, working person, so it was little difficult for her to accept ki are kya hai roj deities ko kaun worship karta hai, who does this. But because she was there in the household, she was supposed to do it, so she was doing it. And then one day she was doing some work, she was working from home. You know, like everyone is thinking about doing now, and everyone should be doing now. So she was working from home. And when she was working from home, that time mother-in-law called her, Beti, Gopal ji ko offering kiya kya? Have you done the offering to Lord Gopal? So this lady was already under so much pressure because she had some deadline to follow. So she told that, Maji, today one day, you know, let us just skip this now, please. Just one day. Ek din we can eat just like that. Why? So, she was very particular. She said, if we don't offer to the Lord, nobody will eat anything today. Nobody will eat. We cannot eat food that is not offered. Not possible. So, the daughter-in-law thought that, oh God, what a headache. So, she just got up and she grabbed the deity of Gopal. Because Gopal is kept in one place. For offering, they keep in a different place. So, she grabbed the deity, and when she grabbed the deity, deity Gopal fell out of her hand. And nice big metal deity, when he fell down, he made a nice loud sound. Bam! Sound came. So now when this sound came, mother-in-law heard it inside. Kya kar diya? What have you done? You have dropped my Gopal. My Gopal must have got injured. So daughter-in-law said, No, no, don't worry. She also got little afraid. Arey papre, what have I done? You know, now ab to bhari daant padne wali. I'm going to get a nice, you know. So she was very afraid. But she picked up the DT and she took it to her mother. See, mother, maaji dekho, nothing has happened. The DT is fine. Nothing, no dent, nothing. Nothing has happened. Mother-in-law said, nothing has happened? Are you mad? He fell down. My Gopal's body is a child. His body is so soft. It's so tender. He must have fractured his hand or something. You see properly. She's saying, no, no, mother, nothing has happened. Look, no, you see for yourself. No, no, no. She started wailing. Loudly she started shouting and crying and crying. And as you know, in Indian households, if someone cries very loudly, neighbors feels ki koi, someone has, you know, passed away. So the neighbors also came to see that what happened, kya ho gaya, why is she shouting like this? So then when they heard that she is crying because Laddu Gopal fell down and she feels he is badly injured, so she is insisting that we should call a doctor. So now this neighbors also felt ki, chalo theek hai na, you call a doctor. What is it? Old lady, she has some, you know, old fashioned thinking. Call a doctor. What does it cost you? Call a doctor. So the son said, if I call a doctor, why will he come? If I tell him that my DT is not well, he'll come. Hey, you tell that my younger brother is, you know, hurt. You please come. So the elders, neighbors, they advise. They always elders, neighbors who always are there for advice, you know. So they advise, and this fellow went. He went to the doctor and he called the doctor. So doctor, my younger brother has got, you know, he's not well, he's injured. So can you please come? The doctor was also not in a mood. He said, "Arey yaar, I just wound up. I don't want to come." But okay, he came. So when he came to this house and he saw the situation, he was like, "Huh? I thought you said your younger brother." So this man took him aside, said, "See, boss, please understand. My mother, she's very attached to this Gopal. She's very attached. And she is feeling that, you know, his hand is fractured. So please, you please examine and you say everything is all right. Then she will be satisfied." So he said, "Okay, I'll do it if you insist." So the doctor went and he took the DT of Gopal like just in his hand. And he saw from behind, he saw from front, he saw from side, from below, upper, he saw. And he told, "Maji, dekho, main dekh liya hai. He is fine. Kuch nahi hua hai. Nothing has happened to the DT. Gopal is fine." So when the mother-in-law heard this, she said, "No, sorry. You doctor, you are trying to fool me. I have seen that aap log wo kaan mein dal ke wo chest pe dalte ho na. You do that. That stethoscope. You have not done that. How do you know he is fine? You must do it." Doctor is thinking, okay. And the son from there is gesturing, "Kar, kar, kar, you do it. You do it. Otherwise again she will make a, you know, big show of it. You do it." So then the doctor, he said, "Okay, Maji, I will do it." So he put his stethoscope on his ears and he was putting the DT. The mother-in-law said him that, "Tell him to take a deep breath." You know, like doctors tell, no? "Lambi saas lo, pakdo se." So the doctor also said, "Okay, Gopal, take a deep breath." And he put his stethoscope and to his shock of his life, he actually heard a heartbeat. And he was so taken aback, he couldn't imagine. He tried again, he again heard. And he was actually able to hear a proper heartbeat of a healthy child. He was able to hear the heartbeat. Now he was so shocked. Till now he was like kind of play acting. You know, ki, let me satisfy this old lady. She has some sentiment. Let me do it. Now he was so shocked. He actually heard the heartbeat and he didn't know what to do. He removed the stethoscope. He went and immediately paid obeisances to the mother-in-law. He felt that mother-in-law, mother, I came here thinking that some khel chal raha hai, gudda guddi ka khel chal raha hai, some fun is going on here. And I was only participating in that. And here now I realize that, my God, this deity, so much love you have worshipped all these years, that he is actually present there. And it is, so he mentioned that moment this was over, he removed his stethoscope, he removed his coat, and straight away he went to Vrindavan and he became a Babaji there. He immediately surrendered his life. He didn't wait one moment. So, if we actually lovingly worship deities, now we should not go back home and try to listen, you know, okay, I can't hear anything. No, but, you know, if we lovingly offer to the Lord reciprocates. So it's a very beautiful pastime which shows us that if we offer with love, we may or may not hear the heartbeat, but we should have faith in the words of the Acharyas. We should have faith. The Acharyas have told us that if we worship with love, they will accept. Krishna himself is saying, Ashnami, I will accept. So why should we not have faith in the words of Krishna? So we don't have faith in words of anybody else. At least have faith in the words of the Gita. Gita, Krishna is saying, Ashnami prayatatmana, I will accept if you offer with love and devotion. So also another reason, another impact that deity worship has upon us, the Srimad Bhagavatam mentions so many beautiful stories like of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, he was worshipping deity in the forest before he fell down. But it is described that the memories of those deity worship, they actually rescue us. If we have fallen down in some way, the memory of deity worship, it reminds, it comes back to us again. You see Gajendra, again, he was Indradyumna Maharaj. In his previous life, he was also worshipping deities. But when he became an elephant body, still he was able to remember. So what service we perform directly to Supreme Lord never goes waste. It has a deep lasting impact on our soul, on our subtle body. It stays with us birth after birth after birth. So it's a very powerful way to purify ourselves. What is the impact on the observer? We discussed about impact of deity worship on the worshipper. Observer, what is the impact? On the observer, like many of us who come for lectures or, you know, come to the temple for darshan, we may not remember anything that we have heard in the lecture. Someone who comes for the first time, especially, first time someone comes to the temple, they listen to the lecture and they go away. If they like it, they stay for a few minutes, then they go away. And we are not judging anybody, but they go away. But if they see the Lord, they see the darshan of the Lord, they see the wonderful aarti, shringar darshan of the Lord, then they surely remember that. They may not remember one word they heard from the lecture, but they will remember, oh, Radha Gopinath, beautiful temple, beautiful deities, they have very nice, the dresses were very opulent and rich, they are gorgeous. So many terms people, like sometimes for Janmashtami, people come for Abhishek, who never come throughout the year, they come for Abhishek only, because they are donors, they are well-wishers. So they only come for that, what do we call it, what snan? Divya snan. Divya snan, or they come for Kalash snan, they come for that. So, throughout the year they have no experience. But once in a year they come and they see the deities, and if you ask them, so, kaisa laga? How did you find our deities? Oh, they are gorgeous. Gorgeous deities, gorgeous dresses. Such wonderful adjectives come out, no? Which normally they would not. If you, even by mistake you appreciate the beauty of the Lord, we are still purified. Even just a spontaneous reaction where you glorify the Lord or glorify His beauty, glorify His qualities, they are purified. So they come, they see, oh, such elaborate worship is being done. ISKCON temples have maintained this standard for more than 50 years. What standard Srila Prabhupada set, that standard has been maintained. Purity, cleanliness, the proper way in doing it, everything is done. So it creates an experience. For anyone who comes and takes darshan of the Lord, they're getting an experience. It is not that, oh, they just see something and go. That's an experience. They, if they are careful when they are observing, they're looking at the lotus feet of the Lord, they see there are beautiful, there's one tulsi leaf there. That one tulsi leaf can, you know, attract the heart of somebody. We don't know. We cannot predict which limb or which shingar or which abhushan of the Lord attracts the heart of the conditioned soul. We cannot predict. That's why when the people who are worshipping, those who are dressing the deities, they take so much trouble. You know, last few days everyone has been speaking about this. The topic has been going on for several days now. Everyone speaks, sometimes you're under pressure because time is coming. You know, Shingara Darshan time is coming and you're tempted to take shortcuts. But then there's no. This is Supreme Lord. I have to dress Him nicely. Everything I do perfectly. So I may speed up, I may make small mistake, but I should try to do perfectly. Because now the Lord is going to give darshan to all His wonderful Vaishnavas. He's standing there to give darshan to everybody. So even one small feather should not be out of place. You know, the garland has to be perfectly aligned, so symmetrical. The anga, you know, kamarband that is put also is tied perfectly. The knot is perfect. The turban knot is perfect. Thoda bhi, the creases should not be here or there. Such perfection goes into it. It is unbelievable. We just come and see and we appreciate, oh, so beautiful. But if we go into the details, we start looking at each, you know, minute detail, we realize so much service is going into it. Such a wonderful thing. So for the observer also, it's very purifying. When you come for Shingara Darshan for the first time, I don't know how many of you have had this experience. And I came for Shingara Darshan for the first time. At that time I was not really a devotee. Not to say I am now, but that time I was absolutely not a devotee. I came and I stood there and I was looking at, you know, Radha Gopinath, and the darshan opened. And then first, just think of the experience that is there for a person who comes for the first time. First, the conch shell blows. That itself is an extraordinary experience. Most people have not heard conch shell. Oh, kidhar sunne ko milta hai? Where you get to hear conch shell in this world today? You don't. Conch shell. Loud, long, you know, there are some brahmacharis who have the expertise, even grihasthas, they have the expertise of playing conch shell. Conch shell also, era person cannot play. You need some expertise. Lovely sound, deep resonating, under, say, from inside everything starts vibrating, the sound of conch shell. So it's like waking up, wake up, sleeping souls. Darshan, Lord is about to come, everyone wake up. And then the altar opens, and then immediately Govindam Adi Purusham, transcendental sound, you know, of Yamuna Mataji singing, that's happening. If you hear that also, you know, with all the different instruments being played in the background and her nectarine voice, that is another experience. And then you see one brahmachari, one worshipper coming in, you know, one has got a mirror. It's mentioned here, the mirror, show a mirror to the Lord. Why are you showing mirror to the Lord? Because the Lord should also see, you know, that how you have dressed. Such a personal touch. It is not just a formality. It's a personal touch. That Lord, see, I have done your shringar. See how you look. Take a look. See, this is how you are looking. And so personal. So somebody is showing a mirror. Somebody is spraying that perfume. Somebody is offering agarbatti. Somebody is praying the bell. Of course, same person is doing that. And it's like all your senses just get bombarded in one go. It's too much. Many people get overwhelmed and start crying when they see for the first time. It's such a wonderful experience. This is the experience that we give to anyone who comes here. You may take it for granted. For those of us who have come for Shingara Darshan for 15, 20, 30 years, you take one, chalo yaar, one more day of taking darshan of the Lord. But if we understand that this is what the observer is getting, we should also want it. No, ki are, why I am not getting? Let me keep all my senses open. Let me really ogle at the Lord. Let me really very, very deeply try to take darshan. Let me listen to this kirtan, this bhajan that's going on. When I'm offering a flower to the Lord, again, see, what a wonderful thing Prabhupada has created. He's created deities. Not everyone can go inside and offer to the Lord. But standing outside also, we have the opportunity to perform deity worship. We are all given the opportunity to take a flower and offer it to the Lord. So what do we think? The only person standing inside is able to, only Lord accepts his worship? He is accepting the worship of the person standing right there near Srila Prabhupada. During Kartik, we offer dhoop also, we offer diya also. Right there at the back standing, you are offering, you can't even see the deity properly. But the deity can see you properly. He is listening to everything you are saying. He is watching everything you are doing. So with that experience that the observer also gets, it's very purifying. And finally, the Lord Himself, the Lord also, how does He accept, what is His experience? What is Gopinath's experience when we are, you know, offering Him some service, some bhoga, whatever. The Lord also accepts in the same spirit as what is established by the Acharya. So every spiritual, genuine spiritual organization, every genuine spiritual temple, you know, has an Acharya who has established a particular standard of worship. So then all the followers of the Acharya, for all time to come, they follow that same standard. Because Acharya has set that standard. Then you can't say, oh, that was 1,000 years ago, Ramanujacharya, different time. No, even till this date, the Madhva followers, very strict. Not one pin will be out of place. Everything has to be perfect. That is the mood. So Lord also accepts that service in the same spirit that the Acharya had established. If the disciples are following sincerely, they're not deviating, then the Lord accepts. If you are not able to offer to our deities in the same, in our home deities, you may not be able to offer in the same way. Whatever we offer with love, patram pushpam phalam toyam, the Lord accepts. So Lord is also pleased by our endeavor to give up our sleep, to give up our other occupations. You have so many other things to do, but you are giving your time, you are giving your effort, you are giving your Lakshmi to serve the Lord directly. Krishna is very pleased. He accepts all kinds of worship. You see, over here, very formal. Once we start worshipping, the curtain is closed. No, everybody cannot see. Only those who are worshipping, only they can see. But we see Kakad Arati in Pandharpur, Lord Vitthal. In front of everybody, the Lord accepts a bath. His clothes are taken off, he is given bath, and then fresh clothes are put. In front of everybody, the Lord is willing to expose his body also. So Lord accepts in the mood that the Acharya has set. It's a wonderful thing. And if we don't have anything to offer, we can offer manaha seva. There is this story that Srila Prabhupada mentions. I'll just take another 2 minutes, almost done. So Srila Prabhupada mentions this story in 7th canto, 7.5.23, 2.3.24, that verses where Prahlad Maharaj mentions, you know, the 9 processes. So in Archanam, Srila Prabhupada mentions the story of this Brahmana from this Pratishthanpur. And the story comes from Brahma Vaivart Puran. So he says that there was this very, very poor Brahmana. Extremely poor. He had no resources. He had nothing. Now he went and attended some satsang like this. And in this satsang, he heard about the whole process of deity worship. That how in the temple, how different ways deity worship is to be done. He was very inspired. And at the end of the satsang, the person also mentioned that if you don't have any means, you can do manaha puja. With your mind you can work. In your mind you can do, you can offer all these things. No problem. Brahmana was very inspired. He said that, oh, this is nice. I will do this. So immediately he went back and he started in his mind. He took a bath in the Godavari. And in his mind, he went into the temple. In his mind, he closed his eyes. In his mind, he went into the temple. He cleaned the floor of the entire temple. Then, with golden pots, he brought golden and silver pots. Now, he couldn't afford even a clay pot. But in his mind, there is no restriction, no limitation. He brought gold and silver pots. He brought water from the Godavari. He gave a nice elaborate bath to the deities. Then after that, he dressed them beautifully. He offered lovely bhogas to the Lord. Like this, he started doing, and for several months and years he was doing this. Every day was offering manaha puja. And very pleased with that. He was very happy. One day, he thought that in my mind, let me offer some sweet rice to the Lord. Kheer. So in his mind he went, he bought the best materials and he prepared that sweet rice in his mind, and very lovingly he went and he kept it before the Lord. But just before keeping, he was thinking, oh, it's too hot. Just removed it from the fire, it's too hot. See, this is again personal. That even for the Lord, if you're offering, don't offer in something that he'll get burnt. He's a person. He's not an idol. He's a person. So even that thought is there. So he's thinking, he'll get burnt. Let me just see if it's too hot. So in his mind, he put his finger to touch the keel, and it was so hot, his hand got burnt. And then he looked at his finger was burnt, actually burnt. So, then it is described that Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha, he was observing, he is observing as a deity in Manaha also, in his mind also, when he is offering, the Lord is observing, he is receiving everything. With great love, with great reciprocation, Lord is receiving. So when he is receiving like this, then the Lord was so pleased that he started smiling. Lakshmi Devi asked him, why are you smiling, my Lord? He said, no, this Brahmana, this is what happened. He is offering me with so much love and devotion in his mind that he actually got burnt. So then he sent for Vaikuntha Viman and brought him back to Godhead. So the Lord is accepting our service in whatever way. We should have a sincere desire. Yathashakti, whatever is our capability, accordingly we should worship the Lord. And never forget that he is the Lord himself. You know, there's one more funny story, I'll end with this. This Gauranga Prabhu had told some years back, I had heard. He said there was this man who was facing some financial difficulties. So he was told, why don't you worship deities? Deity ko worship kya, to you know your situation may improve. So he bought a deity of Vishnu and he was worshipping. Now as he started worshipping deity of Vishnu, nothing happened. Several months passed. Nothing was happening. And he was actually, situation was becoming worse. So then someone advised him, some neighbor again, some advised him that, you know, you should worship Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is very easily pleased. So he said, okay. So he brought deity of Lord Shiva and he started worshipping Lord Shiva. So as soon as he started worshipping Lord Shiva, his financial situation improved. So he's very happy. So every day sincerely he used to worship Lord Shiva. Then one day when he was offering, you know, the agarbatti to Lord Shiva, he saw that the smoke of the agarbatti is going towards Lord Vishnu. He said, no, this is not appropriate. I am offering to Lord Shiva. How Vishnu is accepting? I don't want this. So he took two pieces of cotton and he put it into the nose of the deity. He covered the nose that you should not get this. It's for Shiva. Moment he did this, Lord Vishnu manifested over there immediately. You know, and the person was very shocked and he paid obeisances. He said, my Lord, how come you are here? He said, no, till now you are worshipping me as an idol. For the first time, you showed me that you really believe that I am a person by putting that cotton. That was very personal and I was touched by that. So, we should understand that this is not an ordinary service. Like chanting holy name is also not an ordinary service. We are associating with the Lord directly. So similarly, worshipping the deities is not an ordinary service. For Srila Prabhupada recommends that for grihasthas, in fact very strong statement, he says grihasthas, because they are so connected with material energy, if they don't worship deities, they will fall down. Very strong word Prabhupada uses. So we should worship deities according to our capacity. We should offer opulent, regular and sincere worship to the Lord in order to very quickly develop love for the transcendental form of Shri Radha Gopinath. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai. Any questions, comments, anybody would like to add something? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Gurudev ki. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare.